Psalm 139, and it's a long passage, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth quite well. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to come to your house to worship freely. Lord, we pray that we'll continue to be able to do that. Lord, we do ask you to be with each one here this morning. Lord, that you would speak to each heart here and that you would move them according to thy will. Hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And we thank you in his name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Your spiritual senses. That's what I want to talk about. Who knows the five senses of the human being? Just. All right, let's simplify it. Touch, taste, feel, smell, and hearing. We have two ears. You ever thought about that? Oh, well, maybe I said it wrong. Here, I'll read it for you. I've got it. Touch, sight, hearing, smell, and taste. We got two ears. That's so we can hear. We got one mouth. That's amazing, isn't it? But most of us use it like we got two of them. But anyway, spiritual senses, we actually have those. We're going to get into that in a moment. But and what increases those? Your touch, in a human, we have touch, sight, hearing, smell, taste. And these help us to stay away from problems. Just think if you were blind and you read in Braille, right? And you read and it says, don't touch that. That ain't good. some of you will get that later. But if we use these properly, it helps us stay away from problems. It helps us stay away from things that may hurt us or things that might make us sick. We never know exactly a lot of things. That's why it's good that we have sight. We can see things. We can say, oh, we don't want to mess with that. I opened this big, huge box out back one day because I'm nosy. And it's got all sorts of stuff in there. And it says right on the front, if I'd have just read it, danger, high voltage. But anyway, I'm still here, so I didn't mess with nothing I shouldn't have. Usually I'll have Brad help me with the high voltage stuff because I figure I'm strong enough. I'd knock him down if he starts, you know, doing like that. That's not a good sign in an electrician. That's not palsy. help me. You know, they can't say much. But anyway, but all of these things work for us if we'll take heed to them. But that's what we got to do. We got to listen to our senses. We got to understand our sight, and we got to listen. You ever walked up to a 2,200-pound bull and just thought, "Well, I'm going to get on him." I mean, I've actually got on one. They're about that wide. It's like I wasn't paying attention to my senses because my senses said that ain't sensible. But anyway, I like bull riding, but I like to watch it. Now, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can lose these. When I got COVID back in November, man, it was nasty stuff. But I lost my taste and my smell. That irritated me probably more than anything because I like to eat. And nothing tastes good anymore. It was like, I guess the smeller and the taster works together. But anyway, it never, and it did help me. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, now what kind of pill is it you take? And I told them I take this stuff called Protandim, it's helped my cholesterol. And then I said, she said, now what is it you were doing to lose weight? I said, China virus. And I texted back, she said, oh my. I said, yeah, I don't recommend it, but it does help. But it helped me anyway. But when all of those go wrong, there's a problem. Things that, like, when I lost my taste and my smell, I no longer really wanted to eat, which was a nourishment for my body. And it was to help me, when you eat, it was to help you to stay strong and to keep all these senses working properly, but they were going haywire. And I never knew that I didn't like chicken soup. But even though I couldn't taste it, I'm like, I'm sick of eating chicken soup. And I ate chicken soup. And Sandy said, well, let's eat chicken soup. And I think she made some and Ramona made some. And I'm not sure Diane made some chicken soup. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's good for you. According to a book, it says chicken soup is good for the soul. So I kept eating chicken soup. Well, it helped me. And I ate some beef soup. And, of course, I didn't know it was beef except for it looked it. But eventually all that started coming back. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to be honest with you. I have never in my entire life lost my sense of smell and taste. I didn't care for that. That was very confusing for my body. But you see, we have spiritual senses as well. We have in our, and I mentioned this in Sunday school, I got some looks. You ever seen a heart, picture of a heart? The real one? If you look at the real one, it's got little ears on it. I got the same look in there. actually, it doesn't. But listen, according to the Word of God, and we're going to prove that in a minute, we have in our hearts organs that God equipped us with that we can know Him in a personal way, in a relationship, just like I know Sandy, and I know Deanna, and I know Freddie, and every now and then I'll admit that I know Brad, and you know, Robin's the better of the half, but just kidding. I'm picking on him bad. But anyway, but we're equipped with that. Because, see, this is the way, when I first, I'm going to pick on my wife now, so if I come tonight with a black eye, you know what happened. When I first saw her, I was like, whoa. And I was impressed. Sight. And it wasn't long after that I got to touch her. Held her hand. It was like, oh, this is good. And then, I don't know what she's wearing, but it smelled good. You know, and I liked to hear her when she talked. You know, it, all of this worked together. Which one did I leave out? Oh, well, we better not go there. We got in a lot of trouble for that. I'll just give you a hint. Don't kiss in church when your dad's a pastor. So all of those senses work together. Yeah, she's going like this. Hey, at least we're not on Facebook today. All of those senses work together for us to understand, for us to know, and to grow closer to an individual, right? I would think so. It helped us a bunch. We've been married, what? I don't know, 40-something years. 46, going on that. Somewhere in there. I'd have to figure it. But we have all of these five senses. Now, we apprehend the physical world by exercising, which is what I was doing, what's given for us for that purpose. Food, drink, flowers. One thing I like about Hometown Eats, you go in there and they got roses in the middle of the table. They're real. You know, you can, oh, that smells good. You know, they do a good job in there. I'm not, eat there, it's good food. But anyway, now we possess spiritual means with which we can know God and this spiritual world that's around us. We can understand it if we'll obey the Spirit's prompting and begin to use them. That's the key. We've got to use them. But honestly, just as the flesh is weak, it gets weak if we don't properly maintain it. So will our spiritual. Our spiritual will get weak if we don't maintain it. But how do we maintain our spiritual side? That's through the Word of God, really. But we're going to go through these things. So if we don't get proper nourishment, things go haywire. Touch. Here's what 1 John 1:1 says. So if you want to write it down, I've got all these scriptures on my paper here, so we're going to go through them pretty quick. But 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life." Now, guess what? The word is Jesus. The word. I'm going to explain that in a minute. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers of the prophets." At one point in the history of this world, at one point, the Holy Spirit, God would prompt these guys. He would talk to them and say, "This is what you do. Isaiah, this is what I want you to write." And He used the prophets to speak to us. But now in that same book, Hebrews 1, verse 2 says, "Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." By the way, if anybody ever tell you Jesus ain't God, they're lying to you. They ain't got a clue. Amen. Jesus was there with God, the Holy Spirit, all right there at one time when the world began. Jesus spoke the world into existence because Jesus is God. God manifests Himself in the flesh. That was Jesus. That's that little baby we like Christmas, unless you start getting the bills. Because see, they make Christmas out to be something that's not. But anyway, at Christmas, that little baby, God manifests Himself in the form of man, and the name was Jesus Christ, and He grew. About 30 years old, He started preaching and teaching. I know they've had movies. Oh, and I never watched one, but somebody was telling me in this movie the bird fell and this little boy who was Jesus picked it up and it flew off. Jesus didn't do any miracles. Not until He began His ministry. He was baptized first by John the Baptist. Then He done His ministry, and then for 3 years He preached, and yes, He healed, and He rose people from the dead, and then He died on the cross for us. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that me and you, if we believe in Him, if we ask Him, listen, the Bible said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I know that if some dingbat come in here this morning and I don't get to shoot him first, that if he shoots me, I'm going to wake up in heaven. I'll see all you guys later. I know that. I don't even have to question that. Am I saved? I know that I've trusted the Lord Jesus. And according to the Word of God, it says that if I believe in Him and ask Him to save me, He will save me. He won't cast me out. It don't matter what I've done. And if I started telling you all the things I've done over the years, you'd say, "What?" Yeah, I should have went to jail for a lot of them. But anyway, we better go on because... But He's the Word. Amen. You ever heard me talk about why it's so important for me to carry one of these? People, oh, this just cringes, Brother Kevin. He has a hard time when I do this. I buy calf skin, by the way, because I can roll it up. And there ain't nothing like leather. Maybe that's the cowboy in me. Just, man, I like leather. I mean, I even got my saddle sitting in my living room so I can smell it. You know, if I could, I considered making perfume out of cow manure. I like it. When I smell it, it's like, oh, I feel at home. You know, you ever smell a horse after they're sweaty? You've been riding them and their blankets are sweaty. And it has an odor that just, it does something to me. Anyway, I better go home. You see, this word, listen, I can read the Bible off of my iPhone. I got BLB, the Blue Letter Bible. By the way, you ought to get it. It's really good. It's got an interlinear in it and got all kind of garbage that I don't even know how to use. But it's got all that in there. So I could look at it in the Greek or the Hebrew and I'd say, oh, that word meant the same things it does now. Because I'm a Greek scholar. And so, my wife is laughing. We don't have to know Greek, by the way, to study the Word of God. Praise God, we ain't got to do that. We ain't got no Hebrew either, because I wasn't impressed with Hebrew. Greek I did kind of like. Hebrew I was like, when I had to study that. Ask Brother Kevin. He's had to have Greek, and he's not impressed either. But, you know, I can read it off of there. I can read it off an iPad, but when I hold the Bible, it's to a sense, it's like your, what did 1 John say? Touch.
Amen.
And see it. Let me tell you something. The little dog I got, she's chewed up lots of things. Nothing compared to what my, he may not be my friend anymore. He bought her brother. Nothing compared to what he's done, but she's chewed. She likes to chew. If she ever ate one of these, you may not see her no more. Because in my book, this right here is very, very precious. And the reason is because I take it literally that it's the Word. I take it literally that I'm holding and I'm touching and the breath of God is on these pages. And when I read it, it does something. And that right there, just, I like that. Hard covers. I like just to be able to roll it up. Listen, there's nothing better to me than at 3 o'clock in the morning when I've got problems in my life or I know somebody that does, and I'm in there reading and I'm holding it. And it's just a closeness I feel. Because it says it's the Word. And it tells me the Word is Jesus. But more than that, this thing's alive.
Amen.
It is. It's alive. It's life changing. I've seen what it done in my life. I've seen what it's done in my wife. It had to do a lot, but I've seen what it does. I've seen it change people amazing. And I'm like, wow. Only Jesus can do that. Now, let's go on sight. You ever seen Jesus?
No.
Matthew 5:8 said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Isaiah 6:1, King Uzziah, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, I haven't literally, as I've seen Sandy, but I've seen the handiwork.
Amen.
You ever went out where it's really dark? You have to drive pretty far from Vegas to get that. But you look up at the stars, and it's like, wow. There ain't nothing more beautiful than being in Colorado up in the mountains, and you're 20 miles back in there, camping out. There is an unreal amount of stars. You see God, to be honest with you. You really do. Hearing. Matthew 3:16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Oh, but get this. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" They heard God. We can hear the Lord. You ever heard God speak to you? I mean, it's almost like it's audible like I am now, but it's in here. I've actually looked. The night I surrendered to the ministry, I was reading out of the Bible, and it was like somebody was reading it to me in a voice that was just, It was unreal. Listen, we hear Him. If we're close enough, we can hear Him. You see John 8:8. Now I want you to get this. There was an adulterous woman. And they drug her out there in the streets, naked, and threw her down. Caught in the very act. What you going to do, Jesus? They were trying to catch Him. We need to stone her. That's what they were wanting to do. But listen what Jesus did. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. He had written on the ground like He didn't even hear. He just scribbled in the dirt. Like He didn't even hear what they were talking about. And then they popped off again. And He wrote on the ground again. But listen to what the verse says. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. You tell me the heart ain't got ears to hear. It does. He didn't say nothing. He just scribbled on the ground. It didn't say when they saw it. It said when they heard it. They heard it right here. Oh, they dropped their rocks. And they backed up and they walked off one by one. And she looked at Jesus and He says, where's all these people that was condemning you? I don't condemn you either. You see, we hear things with our heart. Smell. Psalm 45:6 says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, Thy God, hath anointed Thee with oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And all Thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory places whereby they have made Thee glad. You can smell it. It's amazing. Sight. We got touch. Sight, hearing, smell. Oh, and then taste. Taste. Psalm 34:8 says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want anything good. In other words, you can taste that the Lord is good. Job said, I would rather have the Lord than food. There's lots of times I just soon study than I had eat. Because it fulfills something. Now, a lot of believers don't experience this awesomeness that is available to the child of God. Why is that? What do you think? Think about it for a minute. Why would it be that somebody that has trusted the Lord don't get it? They don't understand it. They don't want to be in the fellowship of other believers. They just don't understand why we need to leave this world. They have no desires. Why is that? I can understand why a lost person wouldn't. A person that don't know the Lord Jesus, they don't get it. They don't understand. They read the Word of God and they're like, what is all that? Why do people want to come to church and give money to the pastor? You ain't giving money to me. You're taking care of the Lord's work. Yeah. We support missionaries. We've got to pay bills. Listen. I get it. Why they're the natural man. They're normal. They're out there. We're not normal. They're out there living their life, but the Spirit hadn't been quickened. They've never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They have no idea. They don't know whether or not if they die, whether they're going to go to heaven, whether they're going to go to hell, and they're not even sure if either one of them exists. Listen, hell's real. You can read in the Bible about, do you know there's more in the Bible about hell than there is heaven? And heaven's a great place. But there's more written about hell than there is heaven. It's not a good place to go. I understand why the lost can't figure it out, why they don't have that five senses that the Lord blessed us with. But why? Why the believer? It's a lack of faith? I think so. Listen to this. Hebrews 1:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Now, listen to this. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." That's God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The word faith is used 229 times in the New Testament. I think it's about three times in the Old Testament. Hebrews, just in Hebrews, it's used 30 times. But now here's what's neat. In chapter 11, it's used 23 times out of those 30 times. I'd say faith must be pretty important, wouldn't you? I'd say it is. Faith is important. For one, without it, there is no salvation. You can't have salvation. See, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's through faith. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. It's through faith in what God did. He sent His Son Jesus to hang on a cross, shed His blood, and die for our sins. If we have that, the faith in Him, then guess what? We can go to heaven. We'll be saved. Amen. See, it's through that faith. Faith, without faith, you cannot please God. We can try and try and try. We can do everything. We can come to church and we can put money in the offering plate. And we can say, "Amen, Pastor." And we didn't go out and knock on some doors. "You a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." Everybody's a Christian. We go out and talk to everybody in the world. But without any faith in our lives, we can't please God. Matthew 17... 19 through 21, it says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?'" I'm trying to cast out a demon. "And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind of faith goeth not but by prayer and fasting.'" Turn over to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So if you find Matthew, you can find Mark. Mark chapter 11, page 1060. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Jesus had come by earlier and cursed this fig tree. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, 'Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away.' And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, 'Have faith in God. Verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.'" Well, I've been praying for a Harley for years. He ain't give it to me yet. Apparently, I ain't got enough faith. I used to ride one quite a bit. Wasn't mine. I've been praying for all of this money. I used to sit in casinos. And I'd, Lord, let me win this time. Pull that dude. I'm going to give all of the money to the missions, or at least part of it. Big chunk. I mean, I got to go to Alaska and fish. And I want to have my ranch and my cattle and my horses. And I'd like to buy my way into the NFR because it wasn't that good. No. That's what we do. Hang on. You see, before... Now, I wish I had come up with this, but I didn't. I can't say that it was me. Before you pray for faith to move mountains, pray for a faith that will move you. Now, when I saw that, I'm like, oh. And I've never met the guy. Can't even pronounce his last name. I know where he lives. Not too far from here, about 4 hours from here. But when I saw that, I'm like, oh, wow. Before you pray for the faith to move a mountain, you need to pray for the faith to move you. You see, really what the Lord was teaching here is that it's what you're praying for. You see, James tells us, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Upon your lust. In other words, amiss, improperly. We're praying for things improperly. Why do I want a Harley? Is it so I can serve the Lord better? No, it's because I want a Harley. Why do I want a boat with a 454 in the back end so I can outrun the rest of the fishermen? Why do I want a $15,000 heading horse? For those of you who don't know what that is, that's a steer roping horse. Why do I want one of them? So I can go rope. I love to rope. It's a lot of fun. If you've never done it, y'all, well, maybe not. I start to say you ought to try it. And most of the ropings now are on Sundays. I would have a problem with this. you see, it's not the physical things here that he's discussing. It's the moral, the mental, the spiritual things that the Lord's discussing. You see, the Lord is teaching nothing can stand in the way of the Lord's child surrendering to God. Nothing. There's a mountain in the way, you can move it. You just got to have faith in it. When you pray to the Lord, I want to serve you better. Trust me, He'll move things out of your way. He says here, being a true disciple to Him, when you have a confiding faith in Him, a revealing faith, reveal your burdens to the Lord. You see, that burdens can be big mountains for you serving the Lord. That can be real problems. Fears. Fears are a real problem. Why are churches across the nation empty? Because people are scared. They'll go to Walmart. You know, because they got special protection in Walmart. But churches, people are scared to go. Not only that, they might get arrested. You see, all kind of obstacles. Angers in your life. You ever been angry? You see, that can stop you from going. Disappointments. Well, that person disappointed me so much in church, I'm not going anymore. Well, you wouldn't go for the right reason. I don't go for you. I go because the Lord told me to be here. It ain't nothing to do with you. I don't care what you wear. I don't even care how you smell. I was a farrier. For the youths that don't know what that is, a horseshoer. Just a glorified name. Sounds better though. I was a farrier. I would come to church on Wednesday night and sit way in the back because I'd been hot shoeing horses. And if you don't know what that smells like, I'll just be up front where it stinks. and people would be in the church and they'd be like, yep, Jim's here. I'm not concerned. What I'm concerned with, are you coming because the Lord's prompted you to be here? There's the key. Are you getting fed? That's the key. You see, we come because we need to be fed of the Word of God and to build our faith, by the way. Hebrews, Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If we want to strengthen our faith, we've got to come to church. We've got to be under the preaching and teaching of the word of God. That's what it tells us to do. You see, there's obstacles, there's anger, disappointments. But you see, we can ask the Almighty God to remove them. And if you'll have faith that God will take care of it, He said He will. He'll remove those problems. You see, the results of sin, honestly, it cuts deep. It does. When we live a sinful life, and I'd say all of us have, some of us are worse than others. We got cut deep. Some of us got some scars. Some of it's even worse. But you see, God's sustaining grace leads to healing. It leads to repairing those problems. And it leads to a newness of life that you might have thought didn't exist. But you see, when we have faith in the Lord and we say, Lord, I've got these problems in my life, and fear is a huge mountain in my way. If you have the faith, you can say, move. And it'll move. You got the faith, and you say, I've got these burdens. I'm carrying these burdens. I'm having to do this. I'm having to do that. I've got to work all the time. The Lord will help you out with all that. You see, healing starts with Jesus. Well, I got problems with Kyle. Slicks his hair back. Tony's going in. He would. He's his dad. Yeah, I have problems with Kyle. Kyle slicks his hair back. I don't want to come sit by somebody like him. Where's a neck gaiter around his neck? Why in the world would I sit with him? He offended me one time. I ain't going to church no more. You see, people do that. Look at verse 25 and 26 of chapter 11 of Mark. And when ye stand praying, forgive. And if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in here is perfect? We ain't. None of us are perfect. We all upset somebody at some point. But I can just look at her and upset her. And then if you say the wrong thing, you know, that wasn't smart. I kind of was a little bit of a jerk to a guy yesterday. Bless his heart, he didn't want to get within 6 foot of me. So I said, well, here, have the door. I had the wrong attitude. I had to ask for forgiveness. He didn't give me time because he was talking about me dying or something and went on and got in his car. And I went to go out the door, and the Lord said, no. And I backed up, because if I'd have went out the door, we'd have got closer than 6 foot. But I had to ask the Lord, that really it was the wrong attitude. I should have said, yeah, man, I'm sorry. And let him go. But see, we all mess up. We all do that, but we just got to ask forgiveness. And if I got a problem with Freddie, I need to say, Freddie, forgive me. You know, I've had to approach people over the years and say, you need to forgive me. And they're like, for what? I said, I'd rather not discuss it because you didn't even know. Just, I'm asking forgiveness. And really, hopefully they'll say, well, hey, you're forgiven. But that's what we need. Listen, if we can't do that, why in the world is God going to forgive us? You see, that's a big obstacle in our way. You see, that's the mountain. Don't let things keep you from having a dynamic faith. You see, all those things can weigh you down and keep you from having that dynamic faith that the Lord says you can have. And it's a whole lot easier to please God. It says without it, we can't. You see, Hebrews 11, when we read Hebrews 11, and if you hadn't done that, do so. You look at all these people that live by faith and you're like, wow, what kind of faith they had. Why can't I have that? Why can't I have that kind of faith? You can. You see, the problem is we get caught up in Satan's yoke. I told somebody the other day what the word busy means. It means being under Satan's yoke. We can get so busy. Oh, by the way, we can get so busy doing the Lord's work. Well, I'm doing the Lord's work. That we're under Satan's yoke. He's keeping us busy because we're really not doing some other thing. We start neglecting what needs to be first. And the first thing, honestly, we need to tell people about Jesus. Why wouldn't I want them to have what I've got? Now, I did come up with this one. A faith that moves you. You think this through now. A faith that moves you is a faith that'll move the whole world. Not just a mountain, but it'll move everything. You see, can you imagine if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, what we could get done in this world? It'd be like, wow. We could get done so much, but we usually let some little something mess with us. You see, when all these things mess with us, we start losing our senses because we're getting sick. You see, when burdens get in our way, we're not giving them to the Lord, we're getting sick. And when we're forgiveness, well, so-and-so didn't like my shirt, even told me so. I ain't never done that. But what we do then, we start getting sick because we let that get in the way. We let that stop us from being where we ought to be. You see, we start getting sick. It's like getting spiritual COVID. That ought to go down. Oh, it ain't on Facebook. I'm safe. They've jailed me so many times. You see, you get spiritual COVID and we start losing things. We start losing our taste. You see, when I had the China virus, I lost my taste, my smell. I lost all my energy. I didn't feel like doing nothing. I didn't even turn on the TV because it was too much effort. I'm serious. I didn't want to pick up the remote and I didn't want to look at it. I'm like, no, because I got to concentrate and I can't concentrate. You see, when we let these burdens and all these little things out there that we see as mountains get in our way of where we ought to be with the Lord, we get sick. That spiritual gets sick and we start losing our senses. We can't even see the light anymore. That light that shines so bright in here when we trust the Lord as our Savior. And it starts giving us understanding. We start losing all that. So we just got to give it to the Lord. We got to let Him have it. And say, you know what? I trusted Him. If you're saved, you say, I've trusted Him with my future, my entire life. Why can't I trust Him with this? You ought to be able to trust Him with that if you trust Him with your life. And I'll just tell you, if you're in here today, or somebody listens to this sermon later, when I put it on sermon audio, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, well, I don't know if I have or not. Well, let me ask you a question. If you die right now, is it dead set in your heart that you'll wake up in heaven? If you can say yes to that, you're okay. You've trusted the Lord. But if you say, well, I'm not positive, I'll just be honest with you. You probably ain't saved. And you're probably right. If you passed away sometime between now and tomorrow, you'd wake up in hell. Oh, a loving God wouldn't send a person to hell. He don't. Amen. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ and He said, believe on Him and ask Him to save you. He will save you. But we got to do that. You see, He provided the bridge to get us across that. It's called the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross What was done on that cross, believing in the Lord Jesus, that's what will get you to heaven. Believe in what He done for you. Not for me. Don't worry about me. It's what He done for you. Because He died for each of us. He shed His blood for each individual ever born on the face of this earth or ever will be. Let's stand.